Well, good afternoon. Good to have you all here. We're going to do our best to stay awake this hour. It's the toughest one. I know potluck Sundays are rough because typically my schedule is Sunday morning, two sessions, and then a big dinner, and then nap time. This is prime nap time in the afternoon. But in any event, potluck Sunday, we're here in the afternoon for our third session of the day. This is in lieu of the evening service. If you come back at 6 o'clock, doors will be locked, lights will be off, and you go, oh yeah, there's no evening service tonight. We are delighted. Bob asked me a moment ago, are you going to do an introduction? Well, of course I'm going to do an introduction. You know, we always introduce our guest speakers. I wouldn't want to blow him off just because, you know, he's family. How insulting would that be? But it is our delight. You know, for the last 2 years, Bob has been living in Kyiv, Ukraine. And we've been praying for him. We've been helping support him. We've been following his progress. I even flew over there and checked up on him partway through. and of course, he came back last summer, too. We have seen him in the last 2 years. It's not like we haven't seen him since he was 19. In any event, he has now completed his second year of study. And so I expect this report will be twice as good as last year's when he reported on his first year of study. And we're looking forward to it. So did I tell you what time to stop? Okay, well then just go however long you want to go. All right. Bring us the message. Thank you.
Блаженні непорочні в путі, ходящі в законі Господнім. Блаженні охраняющі откровені Його, всім серцем ищущі Його. Они не делают беззакония, ходят путями Его, Ты заповедал в повелении Твоих хранить твердо. О, если бы направлялись пути мои к соблюдению уставов Твоих, тогда я не постыдился бы, взирая на все заповеди Твои. Я славил бы Тебя в правоте сердце, получая судом правды Твоей. Буду хранить уставы Твои, не оставляя меня совсем. The rest of this report will be in English. But I'd like to begin by quoting scripture, and since this is my report on Ukraine, I quoted verses in Russian, actually. Who was not here for my report last year? I'd be curious in a show of hands. Okay. I'm going to try not to repeat too much, because this is my year two report, but I will repeat some. And you probably won't notice, but these slides are in Ukrainian, not in Russian. Last year my slides were in Russian, this year they're in Ukrainian. I'm not big on maps the way my dad is, and since he showed a lot of maps on the report on Wednesday, I won't repeat all the same pictures. But I did want to share this Venn diagram with you. If you're familiar with Venn diagrams, they show how things overlap and intersect. And so this is a very rough representation of where Ukraine is in relation to Russia. They are next to each other, but they are not the same thing. Many people have asked me, so how is Russia? And I have not been to Russia. For the past 2 years, I've been at Bible College in Kyiv, Ukraine. Kyiv is the capital of Ukraine, and it is not in Russia. It's similar to if you tell people that you live in Austin, and then someone asks you, oh, how is Mexico? It's a different country, and yes, many years ago, it used to be a part of, but not anymore. But it is understandable for those that live on another continent. Another note, I do enjoy languages, so I won't show a lot of maps, but I will comment on things related to the Russian language, the Ukrainian language. I've primarily been focused on the Russian language, so I'm fluent, I can hold a conversation in Russian. Ukrainian, not so much. I can understand about 30-40%. Kyiv, if you spell it K-I-E-V, is a transliteration from the Russian. And so it's not wrong to call it Kyiv, you're just following the Russian spelling. If you do it K-Y-I-V, Kyiv, then this is from the Ukrainian. Now this is important not because you're going to offend me if you ever say Kyiv, I say Kyiv all the time. But actually, I have my presentation online already. And if you want to, if you're listening to the MP3 or you're watching the recording on YouTube, wherever, you can go to bob3.info and then you can find the education tab. You click on my picture, where I'm standing in my silly goat and cap and gown, not a goat, and you type in K-Y-I-V, and that's the password, and then you'll see the exact presentation that you see on the wall behind you right now. So, What was I doing in Kiev? I have a couple of pictures of what Kiev looks like. This is downtown on Khreshchatyk Street. And you can't see it here, but you can see it here. It has one of my favorite statues. The one on the left is the statue of Michael, Michael the Archangel. And they believe there in Ukraine that Kiev, that Michael is the Archangel that's the protector of Kiev. But we understand from the Bible he's actually the protector of Israel. And the statue on the right is Rodina Mat, or the large woman with the sword. She is very tall. I don't remember the exact number, but she is either the 9th or the 18th tallest statue in the world. And I should have looked that up. But, I enjoy those statues there. This is a view from outside my apartment. I live on the 10th floor, or I did when I lived there. I used to think that Austin was a big city because we have almost 1 million people here, and then I moved to Kiev, and there's 4 to 5 million. I used to think that it was really cool when I moved to the second floor at our new house here in Austin, and there I lived on the 10th floor. It gives a very different perspective. What was I doing there? I was a student. I was a student at Word of God Bible College, and my purpose was primarily as a student. Not only as a student, but also in ministry. One of the biggest things that they emphasize at Word of God Bible College is that students should be studying as students. They should be studying the Word, studying every book of the Bible, studying the original languages, Greek and Hebrew, and also using the things that we are learning in ministry. They require that every student not work, and instead they're a full-time student, but at the same time they also have a ministry at the same time as learning. And I'll talk about the ministries that I was involved in, and I'll also talk about all of my classmates. This here is actually just the ones that I lived with, my roommates. I'll have a picture of the rest of the students later. Starting from the top left, we have Igor and his friend Nazar, the back two are on my row. They've been best friends for, as far as I know, forever. And there are two that speak more Ukrainian than Russian. And I can speak a little bit on the difference in the languages. Ukrainian is the official language in Ukraine, and at least half of the country speaks Ukrainian. But because they were so long under Soviet control, there's also a large population that speak Russian. Generally speaking, the western half speaks Ukrainian, the eastern half speaks Russian, how it normally works. But a large percentage also speak both. The college itself was run in Russian, and the church in Russian. And so even though Igor and Nazar like to speak Ukrainian, they get along in Russian just fine, much better than I do. Then on the bottom row, we have Max and Yura. And Max is a guitarist, and you will see him play. I have a couple of videos I want to show you at the end of the report. Some music that we did at our graduation ceremony. But he has ministry with music. He's, from the first day of class, he offered, when we have our morning worship time, our morning devotional, he said, I play guitar. Anyone wants to sing a song, just let me know. I'll prepare. And so he played for us almost every day. And he's looking for how he can use all of this training that he's received in doctrine and in all of the Bible studies that he's done, and how he can mix that into ministry with music. That's really where his heart is. And then Yura. Yura was helping me with a English Bible study ministry. And I'll talk more about him later when I get to the ministries part. But both of them are actually from the eastern part of Ukraine, so they speak more Russian than they do Ukrainian. The ministries. Which one did I have first? Here's the ministry with Yura. This one, let me start at the beginning of the story. When I went for my first year, I thought about trying to learn both Russian and Ukrainian, and I realized very quickly that this is nearly impossible to study two languages at once, because we were also studying Greek and Hebrew at the same time in the college. So I decided four languages at once is too much. I decided to focus on Russian, and this was important because the college is translated into Russian, and the church is translated into Russian. So I thought, okay, first year I'll do Russian, and then second year I'll try and pick up Ukrainian. And for any of you who were here at the end of last summer, I was telling everyone I'm going to try to go a month without speaking English. All right, first month back for my second year, I'm going to go without English and do only Ukrainian. And that lasted less than a week. I was able to talk with Nazar and Igor and try and practice what I knew. But then as soon as I had my first morning devotion time at the college, I knew I didn't know enough Ukrainian to do it, so I was trying to speak in Russian, but I was mixing too many of the words. And it was a little bit scary that I was forgetting my Russian, so I said, okay, no more of that. If I try to learn Ukrainian, I'll mix the two. And they have what they call surzhik, which is Russian and Ukrainian mixed together. I didn't want to do that, so I decided to focus on Russian. That lasted, like I said, about a week. And not only did I ban all English for a month, but then I started getting into these English ministries. Last year we had an English Bible study. It was actually a study of the Bible. We just happened to do it in English. And we continued that again this year, and I'll talk more about it when I see a picture of Zach. But this was an English teaching ministry that we happened to use the Bible for. And both of them really worked out well. This is a, it's not an orphanage, but it is a home for, a place for children to come stay after school. They have homes, they have parents that they live with, but after school, it's not quite a daycare, but it's a place for kids to be instead of playing on the street. And it's a husband and wife team, they have this as their ministry. It's a place, a safe place for kids to come instead of playing on the street, and they are fed. They are always cooking. Anytime you walk in the door, there is food on the table, and you cannot leave there without being fed. Whether you're a kid, whether you're an adult, doesn't matter, you will be fed. And it's important that they not only feed you, but they're going to tell you about God, and they're going to tell you about the gospel. One of the things that this ministry was really looking for was an English teacher. They had been looking for months. They'd had a couple of them, and none of them really worked out. And they really wanted an American. They wanted a native English speaker, an American, who would be able to teach them. And then they found out about me. Actually, one of our new students that started in their first year, this past year, her name was Svetlana, and I don't actually have a picture of her. She only stayed for the first week. And then she had scheduling conflicts and wasn't able to finish the year as a student. But she asked if any of the students would have an interest in helping with this children's home. And so Yura and I said we were interested, and they all said, well, this is an answer to prayer. We have an American who will be able to teach English, and not just teach English, but teach the Bible. And they really wanted not just any American, but a Christian who would be able to teach them. There were a variety of age groups there. The younger ones mostly posed for pictures and watched VeggieTales. It was my way of introducing English to them. We watched VeggieTales in English, and we paused every 10 seconds or so to translate. So the younger kids were there for the VeggieTales, but the older kids were there to read. And we used Good Seeds material. If you're, any of you are familiar with the Ministry of Good Seed, they have a book called What Are Christmas and Easter All About? And it's written in simple English. And when I saw that, I thought, huh, this would be interesting to use for an English class. It uses very limited vocabulary and simple grammar in order to make it easy either for children or for those for whom English is not a first language. We use that as our reading material. And, of course, we're asking questions, asking them to make sure they understand what it is they're reading. And worked out very well. Like I said, Yura was my translator for most of the time, right from the beginning that we started this ministry back in September. There were a couple of times when he couldn't make it, and Elvira started to fill in. We have talked about her last year because she was a second year when I was a first year. Now she's graduated, and she was in Kiev this past year. You can see her sitting next to me. She helped translate, and after the first time she filled in for Yura, they enjoyed her translation so much, they said, can you please keep coming back? And she did so. It was a very big help. In addition to that English ministry. There was another one. This was for, at first I was thinking for people in the church, for people there in Word of God Church that wanted to learn English, and also the students. And at first there were half the students that said they all wanted to learn English. And I said, well, we can have a club once a week and we'll practice English. The first semester, we did a lot of singing. We used hymns, and I taught them good old English hymns. We sang "To God Be the Glory." We sang around Christmas time. We sang "Silent Night" and "Away in a Manger" as a way to teach them English. After the turn of the year, though, we focused less on singing, and we just started reading the Bible. We would read a chapter at a time. Each person would read a verse, and then have a small quiz for them just to help them understand the new words, new concepts. It was really more of a Bible study that happened to be in English. It was a lot of fun. You may be wondering why there's "who there" written on the screen. In addition to reading scripture, I tried to focus on different tenses of grammar. So we covered the present simple, the present continuous, the past perfect. We covered many different tenses. And I like to ask the students for an example of a sentence or a question in a certain tense. And so I asked for a present simple question. And Andre, who is the boy who's not looking at the camera, right underneath the arrow, if you can see it on the screen, he ran up to the board and he wrote, "Who therg?" Can anyone translate that for me? It's English. "Who is there?" Yes. And that's exactly how he wrote it. "Who therg?" So we laughed, and I showed him how to correctly do it. But he was correct. It was a present simple question. He got the tense right. So I was proud of him. One of the things that I asked for right before I flew over was for English Bibles. And some of you helped to provide these English Bibles for the students, and we handed out more to others as well. And so this is the picture we took to say thank you for sending Bibles. I also chose this picture because Zach is easy to find. He's on the left. And I want to talk about my friend Zach. He was my translator for the English Bible study that we did. We did it in the building of another church. And it was a Bible study that happened to be done in English. Really, it was a survey of the Old Testament, started from Genesis 1:1, and we worked our way through to Abraham, mostly verse by verse, and then we tracked the promises of the seed of the woman, promises to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And it took us 6 months to get to Jacob. So we never finished the Old Testament. But it was, the attraction was that people wanted to learn English, and they also wanted to find out what the Bible was about. And so I said, I'm happy to talk about the Bible. We'll do it in English. And then Zach translated into Russian to make sure that everything was understood. And it really is a good dynamic there to have people listening because they're interested both in the Bible and in English. And then with the translation, they actually understand what it is they're hearing. And that is important. We also had a youth group that was from the church. This is not the same youth group that it was last year. It's gotten smaller, and most of the youth have gotten older. And there are not a whole lot of teenagers to begin with at the church. But I used to teach that until there was a Bible study that was started in the home of the Munkos. And there were a couple of times when Pastor Munko wasn't there, and he asked me to fill in. And both Maxime and I filled in a number of times at this home Bible study. That became our Sunday afternoon routine. Now, I have several purposes in this presentation. One is to tell you about what I've been doing, and I've done a lot of that already. I also want to convince you to enroll in Word of God College. There are many reasons to do this, and if any of you are at all interested, please talk to me afterward, because we do need new students. We had 8 graduates this last year, and there are only 2 that are returning for second year. So there's lots of spots available. Earlier we were, never mind. The college is free. You don't have to pay for any credit hours, you don't have to pay any tuitions, you don't have to pay for any books. In fact, the college pays a stipend. And they provide an apartment to live in, they provide a stipend for groceries. It's not a lot, but it's enough to live on. And the purpose is so that students can focus full-time on their studies, not have to work, not have to raise support from others. And it really is a grace ministry. I shouldn't say it's free, it's grace, which is even better. It's not a free college, it's a grace college. And the main reason that all my classmates said, you just go to your church and you tell them this and everyone will want to come. This is a before and after picture. On the left is what I looked like the day that I left. That's standing right outside the airport. And on the right is what I looked like when I came back after first year. I was greeted by my family at the airport in Houston. I lost 50 pounds. So, if any of you want to lose weight, I suggest going to Word of God College. And all the Ukrainians said, just tell this and suddenly everyone's going to want to come. They have this preconception there that all Americans are fat. And sometimes when we'll tell a fat people joke, they'll tell an American joke. And they don't have to say a fat American, it's their preconception. Which is, of course, silly, but I was not trying to lose weight, but a combination of walking everywhere and not having access to all the American fast food, it worked together pretty well. If this is your main reason for going to Bible college, please don't tell me. There's also snow, which can be a big attraction for some. This was our first day of snow this past December. There had been absolutely no snow whatsoever up through December 2nd. And all of a sudden, December 3rd, it hit us hard, and we were able to build snowmen right on day one. And this is with the English club that we held actually in the college. I even built one that's taller than me. I told Elvira that this, if I had a bucket list, this would have been on my bucket list, is to build a snowman taller than me. So I did. I got to brag on my sister here. My sister, Alethea, drew this for a summit competition, and she received a silver medal for it, but they clearly did not do her justice. This is a picture that is representing 2 Corinthians 4:16 through 18. And I'll go ahead and read it for you. This is in the New American Standard. Therefore, we do not lose heart, for though our outer man is decaying, yet our inner man is being renewed day by day. For momentary light affliction is producing for us an eternal weight of glory, far beyond all comparison. While we look not at the things which are seen, but at the things which are not seen, for the things which are seen are temporal, the things which are not seen are eternal. This was the passage that I selected for my thesis. Every graduating student is required to do an exegetical paper on a passage of Scripture from the Greek and to exegete from the Greek word by word, examine all the grammar, all the syntax, and then give a 20-minute presentation. What do these verses mean? I had already selected these verses, and then I find out that this is the passage that my sister chose to draw about. So I said, can I please use your picture in my presentation? And she said that I could, and I think that really helped my grade. But it's a representation of the contrast we have between the inner man, the outer man that is decaying, and the inner man that is being renewed day by day. If you are interested, my presentation was recorded, and there is a link on this page. If you go to this slideshow, then you can find it. It's actually a link to my Dropbox. You can see a video. It's all in Russian, though, so if you're not interested, don't worry about it. There's my presentation on these verses, and I'll come back to this, and I'll give a summary of these verses at the end of the presentation, because I'm actually going pretty fast through this. But the reason I put this in reasons why you should go to Ukraine is because of the Greek and Hebrew program. There in the college, they not only, we do a survey of the whole Bible over the course of 2 years. We did a survey on every book. And we also, topical studies on systematic theology and Greek and Hebrew. And both years, Greek and Hebrew, we alternate every other day. So Tuesday, Thursday, Hebrew, and Wednesday, Friday, Greek. 4 day school week. Mondays are a weekend. And of the 8 graduating students, I'm pretty sure that I was the only student that had any experience with Greek or Hebrew before I went there. And yet, every single one of them learned through the 2 years and gave great presentations, exegetical presentations, after only 2 years of studying the language. And so they do have a great Greek and Hebrew program, which you are all encouraged to study the original languages, even if you're not a pastor, even if you're not going to be one who is going to stand up here or stand up or sit down. But if you're going to teach from the Bible, it's really important to understand the original languages, to understand what the original meaning of the words are. So I encourage you to study that. Future ministry. Now we get to the question of, what now? I have graduated from Bible college. What now? And I've gotten the question several times, so are you a pastor now? Well, by spiritual gift, I was given the gift of pastor when I was saved at the age of 4 or 5. Don't remember the exact day. And I have been convicted, by the way, that that is my spiritual gift. And I mentioned that in last year's report as well. That happened in October or November of my first year there at Bible College. And I was convicted that it is my gift, the gift of pastor-teacher. I do not yet know where this gift will be used. If it will be in a local church in America, or a local church in Ukraine, or somewhere else. I'm still praying about that, and I would ask that you join me in praying about that, as far as where my future ministry will be. And I'm going to ask for future ministries not only for myself, but also for the other students. You already saw the graduating picture on Wednesday, so I chose a different picture. I already talked about my 4 roommates there on the bottom row. Pastor Mark Musser on the left was not a graduating student, but he was one of our professors. He was the professor there when we took this picture. And then next from left to right, we have Julia, who Dad also mentioned on Wednesday. She is a lawyer. She's completed her lawyer master's degree. And she has a heart to work with adoptions. And she wants to work with orphans and to find Christian families for them, to find most likely American families, but that are Christians and that have teaching in order to find good families for these orphans. Standing next to her is Lena, who is our translator, and she translates for the college, and she's also working with Bold Grace Eastern Europe. She and her husband, Pasha, or Paul is his American name. Next to Lena is Lena. We have 2. And it wasn't actually as confusing as you might think, because Lena in the blue with the red hair is the fiancé of Vova, who is standing right behind her. She was a graduate. It was her second year. And the first year she came alone. She's from Siberia. She came to Kiev. And when she went back for the summer, she went on a mission trip to Mongolia, and that's where she met Vova. And after 3 weeks there in Mongolia, serving together on the car trip back to Siberia, back to Krasnoyarsk, he proposed, and so they've been engaged for a year. He was a first-year student. They're getting married next Friday. I'm going to miss the wedding, but I sent my well wishes. Next to Lena is Olga, who is not actually an official student, but she came for almost every single class. I mentioned before that the college itself is free, and even if you're not an official student, it's open and anyone who wants to can come in and listen. She started the year as a student, but she decided to drop out of the Greek and the Hebrew courses and just take the theology courses. She took all the same tests and exams that we did for almost every single course, But she was a free listener and not actually an official student. And in the back row in between myself and Vova is Anatoly. He was a first year, will now be a second year, and he is a professional musician. You'll hear him when we watch the videos of the music later. And he has taught in universities, taught music theory. He's led orchestras and choirs and everything imaginable. And he loves old hymns. He doesn't like any of the modern praise and worship songs. And I much prefer the hymns over the praise and worship songs as well. So it was a pleasure when he would lead the morning worship. He would always introduce us to a new hymn we had never heard of before. And I had heard most of them because they were written in English. But we sang them in Russian and had a lot of fun with that. So those in the back are the two returning first years who will be second years this coming year. Or for the others, you can be praying for their future ministries. They have graduated, and this is another part of the question that everyone asks me. You've graduated now, what can you do now? Really, I can do everything I was able to do already. I have not received any special ability, any special power by virtue of being a college graduate. I am not now magically a empowered pastor. I've had, like I said, the spiritual gift since my moment of salvation. So it is my gift, and the Holy Spirit is working through that gift. But this did definitely give me good training in the Greek and the Hebrew and in theology. It's additional training towards ministry. I have not been ordained yet as a pastor. That'll be sometime in the future. Also for future ministry, you can pray for Elvira, who is helping translate with the English Bible study. And she actually graduated the year before. She is currently in a country that I will not mention specifically for her safety, but this is Laodicea. So it's in a country, a Muslim country, that shares its name with a certain bird that we eat around Thanksgiving. But I'm not going to tell you exactly where. But pray for her physical safety. She's, like I said, in a Muslim country. And pray for her ministry there. There's a small church there, her pastor, Sasha, and his wife Julia. You can pray for them. Sasha himself is a graduate of the college from years ago. And when he's the one who led Elvira to Christ there in Turkey. She was working there, met Sasha, got saved, and then she went to his old college. That's where I met her. And then she's graduated. Now she's back in Turkey working for the summer. She plans to return to Kiev in the fall to continue working with Jim and Phyllis. She helps translate Sunday school materials with Phyllis and really does anything that Phyllis needs. So you can pray for her as well. My current new ministry is that I am now living with my grandpa. And so please be praying for him as well. He wanted to come today. He's wanted to come the last several Sundays, and it's not been feeling up to it. You pray for his health and for our fellowship together in mutual encouragement. I'm enjoying living with him. I know he's enjoying having the roommate. So please be in prayer for that. For other future ministries, like I said, I don't know if I will be here, if I'll be in Ukraine. I'm still praying. I don't know yet. One future ministry will be this next week. I'm going to camp in Colorado, Camp Arete. So please be praying for that. I leave Friday. 20-hour drive out to Colorado. It's safely away from the fires. Don't worry about that. But be in prayer for all the campers there at Camp Arete. I made it through this slideshow very quickly. So, are there any questions? Yes. Hmm. read for my water. The question, I'll repeat for the recording, was were there any events that specifically I can say how I've grown in my spiritual walk? For sure, all of the testing with the visas and with plane tickets. Some of you know the story. For those who don't, I'll give a quick recap. I had intended my first year of study to return home for Christmas. And because of a visa problem, I was not able to return home for Christmas, and I was there the whole school year. They changed the visa laws on me, so I had to actually fly to Switzerland to get a new visa, return back to Ukraine to register it, and my passport was still in the office when they closed for their Christmas break. I did not actually receive my passport back until after the new year. That was a definite test and discouragement, and it was clearly God's will that I stay there, because that's how it happened. And through that, I think that I've grown definitely tests of patience and knowing that his timing is best. Almost the same situation happened the second year. I actually hadn't intended to return home for Christmas. I said I'll just stay for the whole year. And then December 14th, on my grandfather's birthday, my grandmother went to heaven. And I was suddenly thinking, okay, can I fly home now? Can I be there for my family? But my passport was in the registration office. I was not able to fly. And so for 2 weeks there, I was praying and asking all the students there to pray. If I could get my passport back in time, then I could make it back for New Year's. I had not heard anything back from the office until December 28th. Friday, the very last day that they were open. And when I walked into the college that day, Oleg asked me, "Do you want?" I said, "Do I want what?" He said, "No, you just have to answer, do you want?" I said, "Yes." He said, "Okay, go get ready." So I packed up my things and went with him. He took me to the office. We picked up the card that actually wasn't stamped yet. And we asked the lady, "Can we get this stamped?" And she said, "You have to go to this office, then you'll have to wait 2 weeks." I went to that office and asked, "Is there any way we can get this faster?" I said, "No, not really, unless you yourself want to go to this other office." We went there, got the stamp. So I hurried home, bought a plane ticket, and I made a surprise visit home on December 31st. Or the 30th, I guess I flew in. But it was definitely a test for sure, because all that time of not knowing whether I'd even be able to come, and a test of patience and in relying on his timing, on God's timing. Yeah.
Any other questions? Another one?
Okay.
Sorry, Bob.
Go ahead.
And I'm just asking this because I know between you and me, you've told me a lot, and it was really beneficial. But what are some words of wisdom? Because you got to spend some time with some of the professors. Mm-hmm. And sounds like a lot of times they were some of the people you could really speak English with. So any words of wisdom, anything they gave you that really stuck with you that even you could share if you wanted to?
The answer for that comes from Pastor Jim. And we did a compilation of videos. The graduating students made a video of our thoughts about the past 2 years, what impressed us the most for the past 2 years. And if you're very interested, I can show you, but it's all in Russian. But what I mentioned there was that I was very thankful for the encouragement that Pastor Jim would give us every single day. He purposefully takes the first 2 weeks of every year, and he teaches soteriology, teaches us salvation, to make sure that at the very least every incoming student is saved. Whether or not they have a background in teaching and doctrine, they're at least saved by the end of that course. We hope, anyway. But every single day, when classes would start at 10 a.m., Pastor Jim would begin with, "I hope that you met with the Lord this morning." Every day. And then he would continue his word of encouragement for 15 minutes, 30 minutes, the whole first hour. Every day there were 4 hours of teaching. Sometimes he'd take the full first hour, not on topic, just speaking about the need to meet with the Lord every morning. And he warned us of the danger that there is of losing a personal relationship with Jesus Christ even while at Bible college. And when this time of study, this time of 4 hours a day, and that's just the theology. There's an additional hour of languages, and there's also the devotion time, plus church and ministries, and we are very busy there. But if you don't take the time to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ, if you're not personally reading the Word and in prayer, and as Pastor Jim always emphasized, in memorizing Scripture, that there is still that danger of losing that relationship. So I was always very thankful every day when he would give us that encouragement. That's the word of encouragement I reminded my fellow graduates of and want to remind you of today as well.
Yeah. Other questions? You still have videos you're going to show?
Yeah.
Okay.
We could do that. When we do that, we will end the recording. I did think of one other thing I can say. In the course of the 2 years living in Ukraine, I realized the importance of speaking to people in their language. And so for any of you that are considering mission work, whether or not you want to enroll in Word of God College or go to Ukraine, I highly recommend that you study the language, because it is special for people to hear their own language, and it's also the easiest way for them to understand. If English is their second or third or fourth language and you're trying to give them the gospel in English, they may understand, but it may be difficult for them. And it's much easier for them if you can explain it in their language. If any of you are interested in this upcoming scripture memory class we're going to have, I'm going to memorize the verses in Russian. So if any of you are interested, we can work on the Russian verses together just so you can at least say John 3:16 in Russian. You may not be able to say much else. You may not be able to have a conversation. But if you can tell someone John 3:16 in Russian or in any other language, yeah. And I highly encourage that.
You remind me of Bert Kamenizen. Have you met Bert, the coin guy, Kamenizen?
I think don't his last believe name. So.
Yeah, he's the coin man that comes to all the Schaefer conferences and so forth. He has memorized John 3:16, I think, in 40 different languages. And, yeah, that's his specialty is John 3:16 and all those languages. All right, any final questions, thoughts?
Thank you for sharing.
Right, we have video still, right? Is that?
We do.
Okay.
Yeah. So, if we're going to end the recording, how about I go ahead and...
There's one more question, looks like.
Yes. Oh, thank you.
Uh-huh.
Okay, how many of you have seen my shirt today? How many of you have wondered what it says, and how many of you have asked me? I've been waiting all day for someone to ask me. I'll show the camera. It says, Tak yaskudnuv, toisho, which is in Ukrainian, and it means, yes, I lost weight, so what? It was the number one thing I heard over there. It's the number one thing I've heard over here. You have lost weight. Bob, you have lost weight. And I've been dreaming of this for months, and I wanted to get a shirt with the Ukrainian seal on it just so I can say, so what? Yeah. Okay. How about I go ahead and close in prayer, and then we can end the recording, and then I'll show the videos. Father, I thank you for these past 2 years and for Word of God College. Thank you for allowing me to be a part of the ministry there and a part of the training. Thank you for the ministries that you are preparing me for and for this opportunity here to share it with my family, my brothers and sisters in Christ. Thank you that you've returned me to them. And I pray that you would just bless our time together. Thank you for this. In Jesus Christ's name, amen.